Ciao a tutti e a tutti, buonasera. Questo è il terzo incontro che facciamo. Il primo è stato a Parigi, il secondo a Roma. E niente, questa appunto sarà l'ultima tappa di questo piccolo tour europeo che sta vedendo un gruppo di compagni e compagne impegnati a insomma, accompagnare Ben in diversi posti in giro per l'Europa, a raccontare la sua storia e a ragionare sulla sua esperienza. Niente, l'incontro di stasera funzionerà più o meno così. Inizieremo guardando un film di 10 minuti che si intitola Armed Love. Il film è in inglese e Ben ci tiene a scusarsi se qualcuno o qualcuna non capirà esattamente tutto. Potete quindi fare domande in qual caso alla fine del film. E poi farò io una breve introduzione improvvisata e poi sarà Ben a parlare. Noi faremo la traduzione, tradurremo sia le domande che voi porrete a lui e viceversa. E finora abbiamo impostato gli incontri più come un dialogo, quindi le domande sono molto ben accette e niente, direi che possiamo iniziare. Buona visione.
There was a Goldman strike in New York, and the wealthier areas of New York, they had private carting services taking the trash away, but the Lower East Side was dependent on public garbage removal. It was just piling up. So it showed the class distinction, and it was disturbing on that level. And to make a statement, we decided to take garbage from the Lower East Side and dump it at Lincoln Center, the home of culture in America. So we made a leaflet explaining ourselves to hand out at Lincoln Center, telling people what we were doing. And we called it a cultural exchange. Garbage for garbage.
So we are saying, with the results of the garbage, a cultural revolution, garbage right lines has discovered itself. And we of the Lower East Side have decided to bring this cultural revolution to Lincoln Center. Is not Lincoln Center where it belongs?
Since we didn't have a name, we weren't sure how to sign the leaflet. So we just put on the bottom of the leaflet a line from Leroy Jones, which said, categorically, up against the wall, motherfucker. We lived as family, we acted as family, we thought as family. And to the outside world, we were up against the wall. We had been meeting together and been friends and assembled together at different times, all revolving around the journal Black Mask, but slowly it was expanding. There were more and more people and became an entity in itself, independent of Black Mask. I knew it was changing. Black Mask essentially was, to begin with, were just two of us. And I did most of the writing, and the two of us worked on the layout and graphics. We worked together. It was an art for us. And slowly, like, guerrilla theater people started realizing that Black Mask was an attempt to bridge the gap between art and politics. So the guerrilla theater people started hanging around with us. And like some of Murray's people, Murray Bookchin's people, liked the way we were doing things. And they started to hang around with us more. and some of the a few people from the Libertarian League, which were the older anarchists. But as that group was getting larger and larger and more amorphous, the focus was no longer the journal. We were the focus, this group of people. But who are we? What are we? At that point, what we wanted was revolution. And the journal only worked to a point. At some point, you transcend the written word. In a sense, Black Mask came out of art, becoming more and more radical, embraced past artistic movements that were radical, like Dada, Surrealism, Futurism, etc. And it slowly evolved. It became more and more street conscious, more and more radical, and more fond of the Native American warrior struggle that went on before us. And slowly we became attracted to the idea of the holy warrior. It was no longer a political enterprise for us. It was a do-or-die reality. But this was our area in the 60s. 10th Street, 11th Street, 12th Street, all the way over to A. The Lower East Side was a ghetto. And a lot of young people came. We're talking 10, 12, 13-year-olds. And they had no idea of the ghetto level of existence. So we would try to, we would have traveling groups of protective units looking out for them. We would spot young people, we'd keep our eye on them. We provided crash pads. We had 6 or 7 crash pads where they could stay. We provided food, clothing. We had doctors under retainer, lawyers. So we were constantly trying to help the runaways. They were making an effort to leave the diseased portion of America. And so we encouraged that, and we wanted to help them survive.
In order to survive, we steal cheap life for how to feel. We are all the same, all the city is dangerous, dirty, violent.
Music at one point was a shared art. And at some point, it became entertainment, commodified, saleable, packaged. And we always resisted that. That's why we wanted the Fillmore one night a week free. We tried to tell Bill Graham that it's not, our music is not there to make you rich. Our music is there to share the riches amongst ourselves. So we should be allowed to have at least one night totally free. We had a meeting in his office, several of us. You could say it was threatening, and he took out 3 bullets from his desk and put them on the desk. And he said, those bullets were given to me by the Hell's Angel, which also threatened me, and it didn't work. And I told them, the only difference is their bullets are in your desk. After we took the theater, actually, one night we held it, he relented and allowed us to have it free once a week. Sly and the Family Stone played for free for us. The MC5, Country Joe, Canned Heat. Psychedelic drugs were passed freely on the free night. Grass was given out free. Hash was given out free, since there was a complete ignoring of the legal ramifications. The police department told them if they give us another free night, they're going to close the theater for good. Once he made that aware to us, we relented and didn't demand the free night because we didn't want to see the theater closed.
Bill Murray, now it's a bank. Apple Bank.
I started to sense all along that there was a part of the puzzle missing, and I couldn't understand it completely. But I really felt that there was a spiritual side, a side about the sanctity of life. And I began more and more focus on Native American warriors. I felt that they were not only willing to defend their lives and rebel against repression, but they had some harmonic balance with the universe. But that was in the back of my mind. I was still doing what I was doing on the Lower East Side and making an effort, but it was filtered through this gaining understanding of Native American consciousness. We closed 8th Street illegally, just closed the whole street off. We barricaded it and stopped all traffic and just had a party. There were 1,000 people in the street. We had put out flyers telling everybody what was going to happen, at what time, what day, and people just showed up. And everybody had little penny whistles. So there were 1,000 people in the streets blowing penny whistles. It was a total festivity. Police were completely blindsided. As far as I'm concerned, it sealed our fate in a sense. They felt like we'd gone past the limit. Like they sensed that we began to think we were invincible and that the streets actually belonged to us. And they decided it can go no further. I had been at the time traveling. I had a girlfriend who had a blue Volkswagen car, and I'd been traveling with her around town now and then. So somehow I was connected to the existence of a blue Volkswagen. And a bunch of us were going to Chicago for the Days of Rage. I think there were about 3 cars. And I kept getting phone calls that all blue Volkswagens around Chicago were being stopped and that they had my picture as they approached the car and that they had guns drawn as if they were either going to provoke or expect a confrontation. And I didn't think much of it at first or second, but after the 3rd call, I began to realize that this was, in a sense, a trap. I had also gotten contact from somebody in northern New Mexico. There was an uprising. The local Chicano Mexican American population was in an uprising against the federal government because they were trying to restrict their use of land, which they were granted before there was an America. We had been contacted by these people that they needed help. They needed people with guns and people who were willing to fight. You could say it saved my life. It gave me a new impetus, a new understanding. It kept me from the suicidal trap that was being set. And I spent the next 40 years in the Southwest.
Quindi chiedo se vogliono...
Sì, sì, prima di tutto volevo chiedere qualcosa che non hanno capito.
Sì, Ben chiede se prima di cominciare a parlare noi da questo lato, chiede se ci sono delle domande riguardo al film, di cose che non avete capito, che volete chiedere in particolare. È una sua richiesta espressamente.
When the film was made? In which year and by who?
Quando è stato fatto il film?
Maybe one or two years. Recent.
Recent, right.
Yeah. Due anni fa. Uno o due anni fa, quindi è un film molto recente. Beh, there are no more questions. Right?
Okay.
But well, do you want to start?
Yeah,
okay.
I'm going to just leave it open for questions, but I'll give a brief description in English and somebody can translate, and then if we could have questions. I prefer questions so I know what you want to know, but I could give a brief background of what we did. But first, before I say anything, I want to thank you guys. It's, I don't even know the words.
Yeah, sir.
But when I was downstairs, I felt so good. I felt like what we did, I was seeing it. Something that grew from it. Like I felt so good. I don't even know how to say it in words.
Posso? Can I? try to translate. Dice che lascia subito spazio alle domande, vorrebbe lasciare subito spazio alle domande dopo aver fatto una breve descrizione della loro storia, della loro esperienza, di quello che hanno fatto in passato. E ha molto piacere nell'essere qui, vi ringrazia molto di essere presenti, e dice che quando era sotto ha parlato con qualche persona, si è sentito molto bene e che ha proprio la sensazione che qualcosa stia accadendo in questo momento. E basta.
Anyway, so in the beginning, when I was, you know, I could start really when I was, you know, young, early. I was a heroin addict. That's how I started when I was 15. And after several years, I was in a prison hospital. And I had a therapist who said, you know, I was a young jazz musician. I played music, jazz. And she said, when you leave here, this prison hospital, if you stay with jazz, you're going to come back here. Because the whole jazz world was... So she said, why don't you try art instead to express yourself? So I started painting in the prison hospital, and I'm still painting 60 years later.
Dice che quando era piccolo, quando era giovane, era adolescente, era dipendente all'eroina. Lo è stato per lungo tempo, da quando aveva 15 anni, e 7 anni dopo è stato internato in una prigione. E mentre era in un ospedale di una prigione, il medico gli ha detto, lui era musicista jazz, e il medico gli ha detto, se continui col jazz, qui ritornerai molto presto, perché tutto il mondo del jazz è legato al consumo di eroina. E quindi gli consigliò di provare con l'arte, e lui ha cominciato a dipingere quando appunto stava in questo ospedale di una prigione.
So a friend of mine who is also artist, at some point the war in Vietnam was really getting worse, and the black struggle was starting to really become crucial, and we felt that to remain artists alone, just artists, was no longer sufficient. Like, we could no longer just be artists. Like, somehow we felt, I didn't say everybody, but us, we felt we had to interact with the situation and try to point the direction. So, as artists, we did Black Mask to combine art and politics. And we were... Go ahead.
Insieme a un amico artista, mentre la guerra del Vietnam imperversava, crescevano le proteste contro di essa, e stessa cosa era per la lotta dei neri, diventava sempre più forte, sempre più importante, cominciarono a percepire che l'arte, le forme d'arte che loro praticavano non bastavano più e che bisognava intervenire direttamente nella situazione. E quindi fondarono una rivista dal titolo Black Mask.
And at the time, there were two main movements in America. There was a political move to end the war and to help the black struggle, but there was also a very strong counter culture. And we were the only group, as we began to become up against the wall, we were the only group that combined the two. Like, we used a lot of LSD. And the political people didn't quite understand us, and some of the counterculture didn't understand us because we were political at the same time.
cioè che appunto vi erano due movimenti in America principali, era uno era il movimento contro la guerra del Vietnam e uno era il movimento di liberazione dei neri d'America. E c'era anche nel contempo un forte movimento che chiama della counterculture, della controcultura. E loro quello che hanno provato a fare è stato fondere il lato più controculturale e il lato più militante, tant'è che prendevano, lo sottolineo parecchio, LSD, diciamo che faceva parte della loro vita quotidiana, e questo fa parte appunto del tentativo di fondere queste due istanze.
So as we went forward, we participated in both the counterculture and the political struggle, and to me they were equally important, both of them. Like, for instance, two things. We were the only people in history, probably would be the only people ever, because it'll never happen again, but we broke into the Pentagon through the door and fought the troops. So that we were focused on a political struggle. But at the same time, the counterculture meant a lot to us, so we cut the fences at Woodstock, which it was supposed to be a paid event, a concert, a paid concert. And we cut all the fences and made it free, and it became so unique.
In quanto poeti parteciparono sia al movimento della controcultura che al movimento di lotta politica, più strettamente inteso. E per loro queste due facce erano egualmente importanti. Furono gli unici nella storia ad irrompere nel Pentagono e ad ingaggiare degli scontri con la polizia all'interno del perimetro del Pentagono. E allo stesso tempo, diciamo, questo lui lo identifica con il lato più politico, allo stesso tempo dal lato controculturale l'azione più eclatante che fecero fu attuare la prima autoriduzione della storia, come la conosciamo qua in Italia, tagliarono di notte i recinti di Woodstock per permettere alla gente di entrare, quindi più di 500.000 persone poterono partecipare gratis al concerto. Loro erano il gruppo che di notte decisero di intraprendere questa azione, anche se non è scritto, cioè è raro trovare questa testimonianza, insomma, sui documenti è molto poco saputo.
And the other thing that was going on was the student struggle. So we took part in the occupation of Columbia University. Five buildings were seized and occupied at the university. Four others and ours, the fifth one was ours. The police emptied the first four, and they were violent. They beat people really badly. And we were in the fifth building. We invited them. We said, come and get us. We had the place completely booby-trapped and fortified, and they were afraid to come in. We had desks hanging from the ceiling that if they came up the stairs, we could pull a rope and the desk would come down. We had the water hoses hooked up. So they decided they couldn't come in, so they negotiated with us. Only one of the five buildings they negotiated.
Sì, dai le risate immagino che abbiate capito. Per quanto riguarda la lotta nell'università, la lotta studentesca, quello che fecero fu prendere parte all'occupazione della Columbia University, in cui furono occupati diversi edifici, 5 in tutto. Ogni gruppo, diciamo, ogni spezzone del movimento si occupava di occupare un edificio. C'era quello preso dalle Black Panthers, quello preso dal movimento femminista. Loro si occuparono un edificio che fu l'unico a non essere invaso dalla polizia, mentre negli altri casi la polizia entrò e espulse gli abitanti e gli occupanti violentemente. E avevano costruito tutto questo sistema di trappole con delle scrivanie appese tipo sulla tromba delle scale, da quel che ho capito, per poterle lanciare in testa alla polizia quando sarebbero entrati. Poi delle trappole d'acqua, che non ho ben capito di cosa si tratti, e la polizia appunto non entrò, ma negoziò la fuoriuscita degli occupanti, e loro furono gli unici che riuscirono.
And so the last thing I'll mention, and then I'll leave it up to you all for questions, but the other thing was the street, the young people, what people today in the media call hippies. We tried to help the young people. Like, we had 6 crash pads where they could sleep. We tried to feed 400 or 500 people at a time. We would give out food all week. In America, I don't know about in Italy, but in America, 40%, that's almost half of all food that's grown, is thrown away. So we figured people were needed food, were hungry, we had to find a way to get that food, and so it couldn't be thrown away, and give it in the street to people.
Okay. C'era anche la vita quotidiana che si viveva nelle strade, loro in particolare vivevano nel Lower East Side a New York, e vi erano molti giovani adolescenti che scappavano di casa, gli hippie appunto, e loro quello che provavano a fare era accogliere queste persone. Avevano 6 appartamenti che lui chiama crash pads, che servivano per accogliere appunto i giovani, e dice che il 40% del cibo consumato, cioè in America, viene buttato, viene consumato. E quindi loro quello che facevano era fare quella che oggi noi chiamiamo la recupera, quindi andavano a recuperare il cibo e poi lo distribuivano gratuitamente per strada ai giovani, aiutando appunto i giovani, e riuscivano, da quel che mi ricordo, a dare da mangiare a 400-500 persone ogni settimana. Sono delle pratiche che erano anche, diciamo, portate da altri gruppi come i Diggers di San Francisco, però delle pratiche autonome, ante littera.
Go ahead, if they want questions, maybe. Maybe I talk too long, so maybe we leave it open if somebody has a question.
Sì, lui ha dato degli spunti, ha raccontato parte della sua storia. Se avete delle domande, dice che...
If nobody has a question, I can give you. Go ahead. Anyway, I mentioned this in terms of the art world. I had a friend, close friend, named Valerie Solanas. And she shot Andy Warhol, who we disliked immensely. Because to us, art was a spiritual thing. And Andy Warhol and the pop artists made it commercial, made it a commodity. And we detested them. The women in my family actually used to go to all of Andy Warhol's parties and steal the purses. So he was like their piggy bank. But anyway, when Valerie shot Andy, I put out the only statement in America supporting her and praising her.
Aveva un'amica molto prossima, di nome Valerie Solanas, l'autrice dello Scam Manifesto. E lei sparò Andy Warhol. Voleva davvero ucciderlo, ma purtroppo non ci riuscì, e perché per loro l'arte era qualcosa di profondamente spirituale, mentre quello che fece Warhol era fare l'esatto contrario, ovvero mercificarla, oggettificarla, e quindi era un loro nemico acerrimo. E racconta di quando degli amici suoi in gruppo entravano alle feste alla Factory di Warhol e rubavano i dipinti, le opere d'arte. E poi dice una cosa molto divertente, ovvero che, cioè divertente, oddio, che fa in qualche modo dalla misura di quello che era il mondo di allora. Quando Valerie Solanas ha sparato a Warhol, lui fu l'unico a prendere parte pubblicamente nel mondo politico di allora in favore di Valery Solanas e scrisse un comunicato appunto che la sosteneva.
My friend Luna, I was going to turn it over for questions, but he said maybe I could, one more thing. Why I left New York. And it was two reasons. Well, three. Number one, I was extremely wanted. Like, the police had my picture. They, you know, they were setting traps for me. They had attempted assassination. I went into the wilderness for 5 years on horseback. At the same time, I felt there was a spiritual part missing from what we were doing. Like art, politics, the rebellion, it was all great. But I felt there was something, there was a spiritual understanding that I couldn't quite, so I wanted to go with Native Americans. And I felt since I had to leave this New York anyway, it'd be my chance to live with them and understand what that kind of struggle, what it meant. So, and the third reason was there was this uprising in northern New Mexico, southern Colorado. It was an uprising. And the National Guard occupied. There was a big battle. The sheriff was killed. And that was another reason to go back into the mountains for 5 years. But anyway,
da una suggestione da un consiglio di Luna, Beno racconta come, cioè perché ha lasciato New York. What year was when you left New York?
The being wanted, the
no,
trying
no,
to find
year,
out.
What
the,
year?
Oh, 1969.
Nel 69 ha lasciato New York per tre ragioni principalmente. La prima è che era ricercato dalla polizia che aveva la sua foto e fu oggetto di un tentato omicidio da parte degli sbirri, per cui è fuggito e visse per 5 anni a cavallo. On horseback, vi dice, quindi proprio nella natura, senza nomade, insomma. In secondo luogo sentiva che mancava una parte più spirituale, dice lui, quindi era incuriosito dal modo di vivere degli indiani del Colorado e non avrebbe mai potuto entrare a contatto di questo modo di vivere se non avesse lasciato New York. In terzo luogo c'è stata una rivolta nel New Mexico, che è uno stato del sud degli Stati Uniti, e in cui la National Guard occupò delle terre di nativi americani e in cui dove fu ingaggiata una violenta battaglia e dove lo sceriffo venne ucciso. Quindi sapevano che loro erano in qualche modo armati e pronti a combattere, li hanno chiamati giù in questa situazione. E vabbè, anche per questo gli ha lasciato New York e poi ha deciso di rimanere appunto con i nativi per 40 anni.
We try to open it up again now.
Io volevo chiedere quale è stato il rapporto che ha avuto con i nativi comunisti.
Well, not a direct, except Valery Solanas, which is extremely radical. Like, Valery felt that at that time, I don't know about today, but that time she felt that most of the feminist movement was too much liberals for her. She was a radical, and I sided with her. And the women in my family, they didn't need feminism, they were warriors. They were our equals. Like, I'll tell you a story. One night, you know, the women in my family, they had a way of dressing like, almost like gypsies. Really fancy, like. And one night, we were sitting around one of the crash pads, and they were all dressed like the best they had, like gypsies. And they were going out the door. I said, hey, where are you guys going all dressed? And they said, well, we're going. The chief of police is giving a speech at the university. We're going to go and drive them off the stage. And they said, you can come with us and watch, or you can cook dinner. So I wasn't a good cook, so I went with them and watched. And then at the same time, we figured if they got into it, some kind of struggle, we were there, we could help. But they didn't ask us to help, but we could if we were there.
Allora, eccetto Valerie Solanas, che era una femminista estremamente radicale, lei, Valerie Solanas, pensava che il movimento femminista dell'epoca fosse eccessivamente liberale e quindi non lo prendeva troppo in considerazione. La stessa cosa era per loro, per il gruppo dei Motherfuckers. Dice che le ragazze, le donne che facevano parte del gruppo, non avevano bisogno del movimento femminista perché erano alla pari con loro, erano guerriere, e racconta di questo aneddoto in cui, correggimi poi Luna se ho capito male, perché sono un po' perso in questa parte, però le ragazze erano vestite in qualche modo fancy way, quindi vestite bene, e stavano, e allora incuriositi gli chiedettero dove state andando, e hai detto, ah, c'è il capo della polizia che deve tenere un discorso all'università, noi siamo lì per, cioè ci infiltriamo vestite così bene e poi andiamo lì, facciamo bordello. E quello che gli hanno detto è stato, voi, rivolgendosi a lui e agli uomini del gruppo, dicendo, voi potete venire a guardare oppure potete stare a casa a cucinare la cena. E lui dice, essendo un pessimo cuoco, ha deciso di andare a con loro a dare una mano, ad assistere.
Io avrei il piacere di sapere qualcosa sulle sue esperienze riguardo alla spiritualità indiana, cioè, sia rispetto alle conoscenze, sia rispetto ai suoi vissuti riguardo.
Spirituality, especially Native American spirituality that you saw, what you learned, what you lived.
You know, that's a really extensive, well, complicated. It took me, I lived with them for 50 years, so it would take me 50 years to tell you. But since I don't have 50 more years, I'll just make it. You know, religion destroyed spirituality. Totally. It made it so that we could not even think of spirituality because we hated religion so much. But Native people, they never had religion. So they still had their spirituality. And it was there every moment of their life. They didn't do anything without a thought, a prayer toward, not toward a being, not toward a God, but toward the universe, toward creation. They did nothing. Like when I used to be a hunter, and I hunted with them. But before they hunt, they even pray. They say, we're going to kill an animal. Forgive us, but we're going to take it to feed ourselves. That alone was worth the 50 years. Yes.
Yeah, could you tell something about that?
It's hard. I really, they never told me I could, you know, but I got involved. I'm still involved. Mm-hmm. I spent 50 years with them. Mm-hmm. That those.
Dice che è una domanda complessa, dato che ha vissuto 50 anni con i nativi americani e gli ci vorrebbero altri 50 anni per poter ripetere esattamente quello che ha vissuto. Fu evidentemente un'esperienza molto intensa. Dice che la religione ha distrutto la spiritualità e i nativi, a parte loro, non hanno mai avuto una religione e quindi hanno conservato lo spirito nel loro quotidiano, questo spirito che li accompagna in ogni momento. e racconta di quando cacciava, era con una tribù di cacciatori, quindi andava, li accompagnava anche lui a cacciare, e prima di uccidere qualsiasi animale loro chiedevano prima il permesso alla natura, e lei ha chiesto di rimbalzo se lui aveva praticava dei rituali, da quel che ho capito, delle pratiche spirituali, quindi, e lui risponde che non ne può parlare, nel senso che non ha ricevuto il permesso dai suoi dalla sua famiglia per poterlo fare, e quindi però sì, ha partecipato e he's still involved, quindi partecipa ancora sostanzialmente.
Yeah, Ben, would you like to following up on this, would you like to mention a little bit about this concept of revolutionary animism that is coming out of this experience with the native, and then what does that mean and so on?
That's a good question, thank you.
I translate. Praticamente chiede Emma se può soffermarsi un po' sul concetto di animismo rivoluzionario, che è una cosa che si ritrova abbastanza nei suoi testi, nei suoi lavori.
So, I think most people should have an understanding or have some small understanding of animism, which is the belief that everything in the universe is tied together, like a weave, like a tapestry, the whole universe. Like humans are not even, they're not even an ant size. I mean, the universe. So animists believe that this whole thing is alive. It's not just beings that are alive. The universe is alive. So I felt like if I just used the term animism, maybe people would think, well, that's good enough to understand that. But I chose to put the two words together, revolutionary animism, meaning once you understand animism, then you can use it to change this system, this culture, this travesty that we have. So I wanted to make it clear that I wasn't just embracing animism to help only myself. I felt it was the key that we could help mankind break from not only capitalism. I mean, capitalism, the overthrow of capitalism is relatively easy. We want to overthrow materialism, the whole concept that, or humanism even, the concept that the human is the pinnacle, like the human sits at the top. The human doesn't sit at the top. It's all one. The human is no more important than a cockroach. And so humanism is a terrible mistake. And religion is the codification of humanism. It's like saying how important we... God is like a man. Like it's a person. It's absurd. I mean, how could a person... How could you think that this thing was put together by a person? I mean, you know.
Dice che normalmente si conosce poco di quello che è l'animismo, e sostanzialmente cerca di dare una definizione. Si tratta della profonda convinzione dell'intuizione, diciamo, che del fatto che l'universo sia vivo e connesso in ogni sua particella, e ha deciso, cioè ha pensato che questa parola, l'animismo, possa essere messa vicino a un'altra parola, che appunto è la rivoluzione, animismo rivoluzionario, perché secondo lui l'animismo, una volta compreso, bisogna utilizzarlo per cambiare il mondo, per permettere all'uomo di farla finita non solo con il capitalismo, che lui dice che è relativamente facile da abbattere, ma anche e soprattutto col materialismo. Farla finita con l'idea che l'uomo non sia alla punta di una piramide, e quindi con quello che lui chiama umanismo, umanesi. Poi dice come per dire, come dire che Dio sia assimilabile a una persona è completamente assurdo. E questo l'animismo lo esclude totalmente. Forse non sono riuscito a cogliere alcune sfumature della parte finale. Non so se... Però sostanzialmente questo okay. era il concetto.
But I will tell you one thing that happened, a story. There was maybe in the early 1800s, there were a lot of Jesuits in part of America, and they were spreading Catholicism. So they had a big gathering of all of these Native American tribes so they could indoctrinate and tell them about Catholicism and Christianity. And there was one old Indian man there. He stayed and he listened. And then when they were done, he said, And he said to them, he said, you are trying to instill fear in my people with hell and purgatory. And you're trying to make them afraid. He said, but before the Europeans came here, we had no hell. You brought hell. So that's how Native, that difference. To them, the creation, the universe was benevolent. There was no fear.